Articles of impeachment have been filed in the House of Representatives by Democrat Representative Robin Kelly of Illinois. No, not against Donald Trump. This impeachment motion is against Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Yeah, they can do that. The impeachment process isn't an exclusive for just the president. My next guest joins us to explain the impeachment process, whether it differs based upon who it's being applied to, and how federal government-level impeachments have unfolded throughout history. He is a former senior reporter for Time Magazine, professor emeritus of political science at St. Peter's University. That's in Jersey City, New Jersey. Professor Alan Sanders, how are you today, Professor?
Very good, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you back here to talk about this and learn more about the educational opportunities at St. Peter's. It is stpeters.edu. Let's start with the foundation, then we'll do the exploration. How does the U.S. Constitution provide the guidance, the direction, and the limitations when it comes to impeachment?
Well, it basically, gives general guidelines, very general guidelines. So there's a lot of room for development of rules and standards and norms for each House of Congress. But basically, the basic outline is that the House of Representatives impeaches, and that simply means makes an accusation, brings charges. That's what impeachment technically means in this process. So the House impeaches, but in order to remove the official from office, the Senate must try the charges that the House has drawn up, and then, of course, it must vote to convict. That's the general process of the system. The House impeaches, accuses, basically. The Senate tries and convicts. And the conviction only means that the official is removed from office and can no longer hold any federal office in the future.
You know, when you think about this, the framers of the Constitution, they had great forward vision to know that this could be the one of the zip ties, I guess we'll call it, that could keep the structure of a republic together.
Well, that's right. I mean, they understood that malfeasance in power can occur, and certainly they had plenty of experience about that with King George, and so they believed that there should be a system to remove officers from high places. So the impeachment clause applies to both, certainly the president. We've seen that recently with the two impeachments of President Trump. But impeachment also applies to high officers of the land, cabinet officers, for instance, and to all the federal judges in the federal system. Basically, it applies to all three branches of government.
And if you look at the list of those who were at least impeached or the motions were launched against them, it's a sizable list, and it's not occupied heavily by presidents, sitting or otherwise. And here's your little history lesson for the morning. The first person where impeachment was tried against was William Blount, senator from Tennessee, in 1797, and the charges were dismissed for want of jurisdiction. Blount had been expelled from the U.S. Senate before his trial, so that sort of became a moot point at that point. But as far as impeachment goes, as you said, it's the charges are levied in the House. The trial is done in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
When, and it's more often than not, by far, when the Senate says not guilty, does that charge of impeachment carry any weight, any significance, or is it just does it go back to just being a word and an action once again?
Nothing happens. It's just like any acquittal. Impeachment is not exactly a criminal process, but it parallels the kinds of things that you expect to see in a criminal process. So there's the trial in the Senate, and then if there's an acquittal, that is to say, if the Senate votes not to convict, then the official remains in power, and there's no liabilities or problems or issues associated with it. It's simply an acquittal.
So when we say, for example, I'll put it in more contemporary terms, when we say Donald Trump is a twice impeached U.S. president, that really is meaningless when you think about it.
Well, it's meaningless in the sense that there are no consequences. No consequences follow. But certainly is a stain on the reputation of the politician, anybody who's been impeached, because it means that a majority of the House has found that there is wrongdoing. I mean, they're accusing the person of wrongdoing. So it carries a political stain, if you will, next to the person's name. But in terms of consequences, real-life consequences to that person, there are none. And we see that since President Trump was twice impeached during his first term. And he went on to win re-election for a second time to the office with no consequences flowing from the impeachment process.
Although since politicians are so eager to protect and even construct and guide their legacy, if the impeachment tag is attached to them and the biographer is writing their story, well, if they're a legitimate biographer, they're going to be compelled to tell the story of what was behind that impeachment. So there goes, you know, there goes a clean and pure legacy, at least.
That's right. And it goes to show that the whole impeachment process is a political process. That is to say, the politics of the day influence the accusation, and of course they influence the acquittal. But it means that any historian, any person wanting to look at what happened during this particular period of impeachment, will look at the charges, will look at the charges and make his or her own judgment about the validity of those charges, regardless of how the political system ultimately dealt with them.
I know, looking through the timeline of impeachments, the only time they actually did succeed were with federal judges, which ranged from being drunk on the bench to being biased in trials. It's, unless I'm missing something, and for you listening, it is a rather lengthy list. I mean, you'll see some names you might recognize if you're a moderate fan of history, Samuel Chase, Andrew Johnson, among others. But as far as I could see, Professor, it was just the judges that saw the system and the process go completely against them.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, the actual convictions are very few in number, even for judges. But it's not surprising because, really, when you take a look at it, we've had experience with the Trump impeachments and the Clinton impeachments. You're dealing with a political situation when you're accusing a president or when you're accusing a cabinet officer, and so party politics very much becomes involved. When you're dealing with a judge, typically judges are nonpartisan, and that when they're accused of wrongdoing, it's usually something pretty very specific that parallels a violation of some criminal law. And so because judges are nonpartisan, partisan politics in the accusation and in the conviction plays less of a role. And so that's why you're seeing those accusations, those impeachments, to be greater in number for the judiciary. And, of course, the convicted folks have only been judges.
Talking with Professor Alan Sanders, former Time Magazine senior reporter, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at St. Peter's University. It's in Jersey City. Their website, stpeters.edu, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We've seen this impeachment attempt of Kristi Noem grow rather rapidly. Last time I looked, it was around 70 co-sponsors of the bill, obviously far short of what's going to be needed to progress into a vote and then to have the trial in the House. But you mentioned this before. Has the impeachment process, because of it being a more political tool than a keeping things right tool, has it diminished? Has it become tarnished?
Well, it's become tarnished in the sense that it doesn't really work because of the partisan politics that get involved in the process, rather than being sort of an objective process where you look at the wrongdoing of the officer. Really, it boils down to a political game between the parties. And so in terms of its efficacy in removing officers who engage in malfeasance, it doesn't really function. But it does function as part of the political process. So if an officer is impeached, voters get a chance to, of course, hear the accusations and the evidence that backs up the accusations, and it becomes part of the electoral landscape. And so that's why it's become a political thing rather than really a more judicial or judicious kind of process. So the movement to impeach Kristi Noem is clearly political. Democrats who are lining up to back the articles of impeachment are attacking her policies as head of the Department of Interior, of the DHS, I should say, of Homeland Security. They're attacking her policies, and they're using the impeachment process to bring forth evidence that show that she's misused the process, and that's what they hope to do if, of course, they can get a majority of the House to vote for impeachment.
Is this the consequence? I mean, I praise the framers of the Constitution for thinking of this concept and putting this process into the U.S. Constitution, but a lot of people look at the wording of Article 2, Section 4, with the removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery. That's pretty definite. other high crimes and misdemeanors. That sounds too general for a lot of people, and that's how I think the process is getting twisted to say, well, what you're charging, that really isn't that serious. It's not a high crime. It's not a misdemeanor. Well, first of all, misdemeanor is not a high, not a serious crime to begin with. But is that where people are mistaken? Because I've talked with historians, and they said, if you look at the notes that the framers kept, and they kept a ton of notes at the Constitutional Convention, through the reading of those notes, you understand what they meant by high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, you certainly look at what they intended by the words and the speeches and the records of the framers. But if you just look at the plain words, high crimes and misdemeanors, it suggests that you look at everything. It could be a real crime, or it could be a misdemeanor. And a misdemeanor doesn't have to be criminal. It can simply be malfeasance. You can certainly interpret the word that way. So it seems to me that the framers were looking at a malfeasance in office, which could involve an actual crime, or it could simply involve a misuse of power, because they believed that really everybody should be held accountable. They knew how kings in England abused their powers, and they also knew that under the rules of Great Britain, of England, kings could not be accused of crimes because that just wasn't allowed. So they drafted a clause here that said, okay, if there is a demonstrated crime, that person can be accused and tried in the Senate. But if it's just a misdemeanor, a simple malfeasance in office, that would suffice as well. They really wanted to keep officers of the land in check, and they devised a process to do that through checks and balances, but also through a process to remove them from office as well.
Really, it's amazing for you listening to, again, to reiterate, I think the important lesson we get from this, no matter what or where this impeachment attempt against Kristi Noem winds up going or landing, that the framers thought far enough ahead and could see what would be potential, what would be possible, and put in safeguards to make sure that didn't happen. And again, it's a lengthy list, but when you have a little time, do a search of federal employees, federal positions impeached, or words to that effect, and you're going to see quite a lengthy list of interesting reasons as well for the impeachment. So that'll give you a little homework in your next time it snows and you're stuck inside or something. Learn more about the education opportunities at St. Peter's University in Jersey City, stpeters.edu. He is their Professor Emeritus of Political Science, Professor Alan Sanders. Thank you so much for the constitutional education today, sir. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure for me, too. Take care, Chris.